Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector here at the Private Officer Beat Radio. Every week, you'll hear breaking news, topics of training, information for the industry of security, public safety, and law enforcement. So strap in, hang on, we're about to speed off in this episode of the Private Officer Beat Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the On the Legal Side radio show, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. Thank you for listening in, whether you're listening live or by remote streaming, downloading, or maybe you've had it downloaded and cached and just didn't have the time to get to it. But thank you, wherever you're at. We have many comments from folks outside of the U.S., and that always makes us smile here at POI. And today's radio show is very important, and it's very serious, and it's really being produced all because of something that recently happened involving private security. And we're going to talk today about a legal topic that many security officers don't consider, don't think about. They just go to work and don't really think about the ramifications of what it is they're doing. And today, you may think I'm talking about the use of force or carrying a firearm or making a detention arrest of doing someone or use of force of some level or something else. But today, the topic that I'll be discussing is one of extreme importance and one that if security company owners, managers heard this radio program, and some will because they do listen to the show, they're not going to be too happy with me. And I'm already expecting some emails and social media comments, and that's okay. We're fortified here. We're prepared for the worst, because that seems to happen quite a bit when we speak up about things happening in the private security field. So what is this topic that I'm talking about, and why is it so important that people are going to be either very happy to hear it or very angry that they did? The topic today that we're talking about here on the legal side is using your personal vehicle for work hours, working your shift, your job, wherever it might be. Let me just explain something. You are running a lot of risk, and we're going to talk about that for sure today. I'm Rick McCann, sitting behind the microphone once more, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a 40-plus year law enforcement officer, public safety, multi-business owner, so on and so forth. I do have legal background, legal degrees, and we have researched this with our attorney, and so the subject that I'm bringing forth today has been researched. We know for a fact that it's legitimate and that the information provided today, although not for legal purposes, I'm not an attorney, but it is definitely the gospel, and you should be concerned and you should review and discuss with an attorney this subject as well, because that's how important and serious that it really is. So for many years, probably as far back as there was security officers on planet Earth, security personnel have always used their vehicles to get to work, obviously. They might use maybe a bus or some other transit system. These days, many people use Uber or Lyft or some other driving service. I recognize that people living, especially in metropolitan areas, oftentimes don't need their vehicles, don't use vehicles. But today, the program is really intended for those who use their personal vehicle for conducting security duties while on the clock. So let's begin from the beginning. Since the beginning of Earth, most security officers, or since the beginning of security, I should say, most security officers have always used their own personal vehicle to patrol apartments, shopping centers, more than just transportation to and from work, but they're actually using it as a patrol vehicle. And it's still done today. I just ran into a security officer patrolling a strip mall or shopping center. He had magnetic signs on the vehicle and an amber light on the top of the roof. And although it looked somewhat professional, it had the company's logo on the side of the door and so forth, it wasn't 100% official, and it definitely put that driver, that security officer, in jeopardy had he ever got involved in a wreck or an accident. So, from the beginning, security officers asked to work on a job and use their vehicle either to and from a job site while on the clock. As long as that security person is off the clock, then any accident or other type of injury would be sustained off the clock, and that employer would not be liable. However, if the security company assigns a security officer to drive their own vehicle and head out to a job site, and they're being paid for that either on gas money, mileage, or on the clock hourly rate, then we have a whole nother issue. The security officer would be responsible if he was reckless or under the influence or he was speeding, but the security company might also be responsible. There are a number of reasons why security companies don't pay employees to and from the post or to and from the job site. I know of some security companies in the past and still today in present U.S. time right here, they do pay their security supervisor or management either travel, mileage, or bonus or wages while on the clock. And that really poses quite a problem for both the security employee and the security employer. If a security employer has you driving around an apartment, patrolling, mobile patrol, responding to alarms in your vehicle on the clock, patrolling a shopping center, a commercial complex, a construction site, anything outside of stationary sitting in your car at the front gate, then that's a problem, a big problem for you and for them. Recently, a security officer who had worked for a company less than a month was involved in an accident on the client's property. Now, when I come back from the first break, we'll talk about why that was such a disaster and why that was such a legal issue that attorneys and even the district attorney all got involved. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this state.
I heard about a shooting involving a 3-year-old girl over the summer. My daughter Riley is that age.
There was a point when I felt that I was going to die.
My parents used to always say a bullet doesn't have a name on it.
Someone put a bullet in the back of my 14-year-old son's head.
The gun should never be an option.
We're Americans. We don't have to live like this.
We can all make a difference.
In the United States, 88 people die of gun violence every day.
We can end gun violence.
You're listening to On the Legal Side, a production of Private Officer International. Thank you for being with us and joining us on today's program. We're talking about the use of a personal vehicle while on the clock. Here's a couple of things to consider. If you are stationary, let's say at an apartment complex, a shopping center, a construction site, whatever it might be, if your job is to do a walk around of the property on foot, and there's no post instructions, no verbal instructions from a supervisor, manager, or owner to conduct any mobile patrols whatsoever, and you take it upon yourself to drive the property because either you're tired, lazy, or you just don't feel like doing the whole walking thing, so you just drive a couple of laps around the property, that is going to be, and you are involved in an accident, let's say that you go off the road, you hit some construction material, you hit a building, like someone just recently did, or some other accident, and you cause damage to your vehicle, and worse yet, you cause damage, injury to yourself. If you have no supervisor, no owner, no one, telling you to use your personal vehicle for driving around because you're tired, then that's going to be a situation where the damages, the injuries, medical bills is all going to come back to you on your shoulder. No doubt about it, you're going to be 100% responsible or liable unless, and there's always that, you know, unless you can prove that a supervisor, owner, or manager verbally or in writing told you this is a large property and rather than just walk back and forth all day, all night, go ahead and take your vehicle around the exterior property and then get out and check the doors. That'll be okay. We really need to have a golf cart here, but we don't at this time. If they tell you that, then the issue will be for you to prove that a supervisor told you to do that should you be involved in an accident or get injured while driving around the property. You can also prove, probably relatively easy, that the area was not safe to drive, especially a construction site, because there's construction material, there's construction heavy vehicles, there's all sorts of nails. There's big holes in the property that, you know, they haven't completed filling in and paving. And so it was hazardous to have anyone walking or driving around that property. I have been on a number of those. One of the contracts that I had long term was one of those areas where they dig real deep, they mine rocks, and they break them apart, and they make sand and smaller rocks. And big company, big, many acres. I don't recall how many, but we had no choice but to drive the property. Very up and down, hilly, you know, during the day, big, major construction work, trucks, dump trucks, bulldozers, all sorts of graders, so on and so forth. So it was very dangerous. But it was part of the contract, and it was written into the contract. In fact, the client paid additional fee to use our patrol vehicle. And so if something had happened, which it thankfully never did, then the client would be responsible. But if no one tells you to get in your car and drive around the property, and you're supposed to be walking, hoofing it, and you get injured or you have an accident with your vehicle, you're going to have to prove, if you do go to civil trial, that someone in authority told you to use your vehicle. The best way is to make sure it's either part of the post orders or you have a written agreement. You have that boss or supervisor write it down for you and tell you in writing how much you're going to get extra for using your vehicle. Are you getting paid extra per hour? Are you getting paid a gas allowance per week? Whatever it might be, it needs to be in writing. The bottom line is this security officer was very tired, and he had been driving his vehicle around a complex, and he did crash into a vehicle, or into a building, actually. Fortunately and unfortunately for him, it was not part of the post orders. It had not been written into a contract with the client. But a supervisor who had come into the property weeks before told him, Adam, it's okay that you take your vehicle. This is a pretty big property, and it's just too much for one person to walk. And then we want you to be up at the front area and make sure no one walks through the property, that no one trespasses. So, you know, give it a quick spin around every once in a while, make sure nobody's on the property, everything looks in order, there's no break-ins or fires or other things, and you'll be all set. Well, because someone did overhear all that, you know, after the security officer was involved in this accident and hit the building and was injured, of course, his employer said, no, we never told Adam. We never told Adam to do that. In fact, we frown upon that stuff. We don't want to be, you know, having to be liable if the person has an accident or damages any of our client's property, even though that's what they have liability insurance for. So they try, of course, to say no, that they definitely did not give them permission, but unfortunately, someone heard that permission, and although it didn't go to trial to fruition, a lawsuit was filed, and after negotiations between both lawyers, both sides, and that statement from the witness, which would be hard evidence in court, they came to terms. The agreement amount was not specified, but I'm sure that it worked out for the best for the security officer and probably for the security company, because they may have been facing a substantial judgment, especially with the evidence that they gave permission to the security officer to drive his vehicle. So let me be clear, and let's go back to the beginning. If you're a security officer and you are driving to work off the clock, and your employer has not given you any type of indication that they're going to pay you for mileage or they're going to pay you an hourly rate to drive to work, then you're on your own time and your own dime. Should something happen, you get involved in an accident. Now, we have this situation happen quite a bit with electronic security technicians, people who work for alarm companies. Some of them do have company vans, but others don't. And they drive to the job, and sometimes they have to drive to a second job during the day, and they're on the clock. They're on their company's time in doing so. So if you have the permission of an employer to use your vehicle, whether it's going from point A to point B on a patrol, you know, or to a job site, or it's patrolling a certain property or premise to do security checks, then that employer will be responsible possibly for your damages, vehicle damage, personal injuries if you're injured in an accident or someone hits you and runs into you, then they're going to be responsible. In the electronic security industry, there are many times when technicians get involved in accidents on the way to a job or from a job, and they're on the clock, and many of them have technology now where they log in on their phone when they are on the clock and log off when they're off the job, and everything is, of course, tracked that way so it can prove that they were on the job or that they should have been off the clock and on the way to home, and therefore the company would not be responsible. We're going to take one more quick break. We'll be right back to clean this all up. You're listening to On the Legal Side. I'm Rick McCann. We'll be right back.
I was just going to the grocery store.
Seatbelt violators, beware.
I forgot to put it on.
If you're pulled over because you've broken the law.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And you're not wearing your seatbelt.
It's broken, but I was going to have it fixed.
No matter what your excuse is, you will get a ticket in addition to the ticket for your original violation.
Click it or ticket? That's pretty easy to remember.
I am a very upfront person. I believe in making things simple, black and white, no grays, no shades of grays or other colors. You don't have to wonder what it is that I want or what I like or what I want you to do, because I'm going to tell you straight out and you'll know, you'll understand. And if not, I want people to ask questions and make sure that we're communicating and we're on the same page. So with us here, with my businesses, I make it not only clear in writing, but I make it clear verbally as well. This is what I want done. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. This is what we're going to pay you. This is what your responsibilities and duties are. If you are going to use your vehicle, we're going to pay you X, Y, Z. We're going to pay you per mile. We're going to pay you a set fee, you know, every week. Or we don't want you to use your vehicle on the job site. You're not to patrol in a vehicle, but on foot, or use a golf cart or a bicycle or what other means that might be available. We don't want security personnel or any employee to be put in a position where they have to decipher what it is their job is, their responsibilities, and whether or not, hey, am I supposed to do this? Or maybe he meant that, or I tell people almost on a daily basis, communication is the number one thing that causes failure with employee relationships and with spouses. You think your wife meant one thing when she told you something on the way out the door this morning, but she actually meant something else. You just didn't decipher it. And oops, when you get home, yeah, there's a little problem waiting for you. As an employee, it's important that, just like with an employer, that you have things documented, that you understand what the agreement is, that you understand what the job is, that you understand what the duties are. This security officer, had it not been that someone had overheard something that definitely, you know, stated that he could use his car because it was a pretty expensive property, he might be out of pocket for a lot of money for the damage to the vehicle, the building, and his injuries. And what if he had seriously injured himself or even, you know, killed someone, ran over someone? We have this employees driving to and from a job site, to and from work that's on the clock. Unfortunately, a lot of us just don't think about the ramifications. We don't think about our responsibility. We're just going to go ahead and blindly do things. Hey, I need a job. That's what the employer, the boss wants me to do. I'm not going to question him. I'm not going to worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. And so we merrily go down the road, and wow, something does happen, and something serious happens, and now you're going to be left, you know, holding the bag. You're going to be the one responsible, and all the while, you didn't have a direct line of communication with the employer, so you don't know whether he wanted you to do this, that, or the other thing, whether or not you could drive your vehicle on the job site, whether you couldn't. It's really not that difficult. And if an employer or supervisor won't give you straight answers, they might not be the right employer for you. That's going to do it for this edition of On the Legal Side. I hope that, you know, opened the door for thought, if nothing else. I hope that maybe you start looking at things differently. Things do happen. We got to be prepared for every aspect of our job, legalities, legal issues, being attacked, so on and so forth. So please think about things. Don't just think about that paycheck, because at the end of the day, that might not even begin to pay for what you might be responsible for. Y'all be safe. Be blessed. We'll see you back here on the Private Officer Radio.